Back on the Boss Man Show, new coach at Idaho Vandals, Alex Gripple with me. Came from Seattle University. Now he's the head coach of Idaho. Back in the picture one more time. How you doing, man? Good to talk to you, man.
I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you, too. I appreciate you having me on, man.
No doubt, man. How's it going to be back in that big chair, man, after being in St. Martin D2? Now you're back in the big chair, man. How's it feel again?
It's great. You know, that was the goal. I'm just really honored to be here. You know, University of Idaho is a special place. And so the fact that I get to call this home is great. And I'm happy to be the head coach. Got some great assistants surrounding me and looking for big things here in the future.
And folks, cool about Moscow is really right there by Pullman. So Washington State's right there at you guys' border, man. It's crazy how you're around the border, you find the Pullman. So you got that college vibe right there.
I love it, man. When I flew in for the press conference, you fly into this small little kind of one terminal airport and half the terminal split for the Cougars and half the terminal split for the Vandals. There's a lot of pride out here with Vandal athletics. And it's a special place, kind of the big show in town. And you know, the Vandal community is really special.
No doubt, man. I'm going to ask kids, Alex, this man, you know, my father's a coach. He's 83 years old. His why was always he wanted to help young men and more young men. I'll be honest with you. I told my dad early, Pops, coaching is not in my blood because I'll cuss kids out every day. I can't do that. I'm too competitive. And I'll tell you how I do something, I'm going to get mad. But for you, like, what was your why to want to get this business man and help your men out?
It's really similar, man. I've always known I wanted to be a coach. I started as a high school coach. I was teaching and coaching and really enjoying that. But I really believe that kind of the years of 18 years old to kind of 22, 23 are extremely transformative years in the lives of these young men. And so basketball is kind of the tool with which we can make an impact in these kids' lives. It's a special thing to be able to let the game of basketball take us to different places in the country and have different experiences. Bringing a group of young men from all different backgrounds, all different experiences together, playing for the same reasons, fighting for the same things. It's a special thing. So basketball has been so good to me. It's impacted my life in so many ways. And to be a coach here at this level, you know, it's really about providing a positive experience for these young men.
No doubt. And like you said, man, I even though my dad was a coach, man, but my actual coach who I played for is who I got a lot for. A lot of things my dad said to me, because it was my dad, right? But my coach tell me it hit differently. So having a guy who cares about you, help mold, like you said, learning about different backgrounds, learning about different cultures, man, being in that locker room city, man, it's so amazing what that locker room can do for people. Like, if we could be as a country, how sports like our locker rooms are, we'll be a great place we already are right now, my brother.
I agree, man. I feel like all the biggest problems that this world has can be solved by great teams. You know, it takes great teams of people that come together, that know how to work together, that are fighting for the same things, that are moving in the same direction. I think that's how we solve these big problems that we got going on. And I think, you know, I really, really believe that team sports, learning how to be a good teammate, learning how to sacrifice for others, it's an important thing. So, like I said, basketball is kind of a conduit where we can teach a lot of those lessons. And that's what we're here for, man.
And Alex, let me ask you this, man, from your playing career, because we're about the same age, bro. You got me by a couple of years. We're about the same age. But how has basketball for you and your mind changed since we was young kids, man? I feel like with the spreading of the game, the shooting of three, the spacing has made the game more difficult to watch, and how to attack space and force defense into hard choices. What shots are we going to give up? We got to make up our minds. We're going to get cool with this one. We're cool with that kind of shot.
That's right, man. You're spot on. You're spot on. It's funny. When I played the game, you know, I was a walk-on at Cal Berkeley for a couple of years, ended up earning a scholarship. And the only way I was able to develop a role for myself was just being a physical, tough defender. But at that time, I could hold on to people and bang people, and it was a whole different ballgame. It was a much more physical game when I was playing. Now it's all about pace and space and skill and spreading the floor and decreasing that physicality to a certain degree. So I really like the way the game is played right now. I think it's a beautiful game. I think it's, you know, there's points of emphasis, there's officiating that are helping the game be spread more pace to it. And that's the way we want to play up here. We've kind of adapted to the times. We're trying to recruit guys who are skilled. You know, it's going to be rare that we're ever going to have less than four players on the court who can shoot the three, because we're all about space in the court. That'll create lanes for guys to be able to drive, use their skill set. We're big on versatility, on interchangeability. So we want guys that can guard multiple positions, but offensively can spread the court, and then we can put them in a position to be successful. So, you know, for me, it's fun because it's a fun style of basketball to coach, but I think it's a fun style of basketball for people to watch as well. And I also think it's a fun style of ball for our players to play.
100%, man, because I remember, you know, back in the day, we would have those two bigs in, running screens off the baseline to get a nice mid-range baseline jumper, man. I wish I could have had this opportunity because I was a three-point shooter and could defend. I didn't have much handle, but I could shoot the three and defend. And what we need now? 3-and-D guys.
That's right. That's right. You got any eligibility left, man? We need someone like you over here. Come on. Bring you out to Moscow.
I may have a grad transfer a year left.
There you go.
You got a grad transfer a year left. For nice. Sure, man. Alex, man, basically, what I'm telling you, man, just, man, for the Big Sky, man, it's a great league, man. You know, my friend Sprint got a job at Utah State, man, so he's a good buddy of mine. Travis DeCue does a good job up there as well. David Riley, another friend of mine, does a good job up there. So about the league, man, the coaches, man, and just how that league is so tough. No, it's not get the publicity that it deserves, but it's a very tough league, top to bottom. No easy nights out there in the Big Sky Conference, my brother.
No, you're spot on. You're spot on. You know, I was in the Big Sky once before. I was out of Eastern Washington for 2 years. You know, worked for a guy named Jim Hayford, and the three assistants on that staff at the time were me and Shante Leggins, who's the head coach at University of Portland, and David Riley, who's doing an unbelievable job at Eastern Washington, and very experienced with the conference. And you're right, top to bottom, the coaching is unbelievable. You mentioned Danny Sprinkle, who's done a great job, and Travis DeCure, but you know, you could go all throughout the conference. There's just high level coaches that I have so much respect for the job that those guys are doing, but there's also a lot of talent. There's great talent out here, a lot of skill. It's kind of an offensive firepower league, a lot of guys that can fill it up. So you're right. Every single night's going to be a battle. We're aware of that. You know, I've tried to hit the ground running on the recruiting trail out here to make sure that we're bringing in talent that can compete right off the bat. But it's going to be a battle, man. We know absolutely that every night is going to be a challenge. And for us, we're just trying to get better every time we take the floor. So it's going to be one of those things where win or lose, we're going to be learning a lot. And hopefully, you know, with this first year, we can be playing our best basketball when we're headed into March.
How's it been getting on the court with your guys before they jet out here for the semester here real soon? So how's it been seeing what you kind of have as you go in that portal, kind of find the right fits for your roster that you want to play, how you want to play? How's it been getting to meet the guys who will be with you going forward?
Yeah, it's been great, man. It's been great. You know, I've got to develop some bonds with a couple of these guys and start something in terms of a relationship with a few of them. But truth be told, we are having somewhat of a fresh start out here. We're going to have 11 new players on the roster, and it's going to be one of those things where the minute we get going in the summer, we're going to have that shift in culture, and we're really going to be attacking every day. So the guys that are coming back, you know, it's been great to get to know them, been great to see them out on the floor a little bit. But I think we all know that come June, when we're out there in the summer, it's going to be a fresh start, fresh energy, new expectations. And our goal is going to be to win every single day, every single time we step on the court, everything we got going on in the weight room. It's going to be to attack those with some energy and to win every single day. So I love the guys we got returning. And really excited about the new guys coming in.
Now, Alex, a lot of time fans don't understand this. Several times where you get better. That put a velvet piece is so important to your team's performance come November, December, because you get better in the summertime. We're trying to game plan for another team. It's hard. You get better, but it's harder to do what you want to do development-wise. So about how the summertime, that put a velvet piece, and building that culture, building that oneness, when those tough sprints on the track or those tough days of just working out when you're tired, I'm lifting all day, man. How that bonds our team together.
It's so true, man. You know, the work you put in the summer, it's going to show up in March. You know, it's going to show up in the winter. It's going to show up in the postseason. And so it's huge. We really take great pride out here in the player development process. You know, you talk about the way the game has changed a little bit. I personally believe that player development is kind of the next frontier with college coaching as well, that you're going to see huge jumps in terms of the way staffs are created, where you're going to bring in guys that really, really understand how to develop talent, because you can bring in players and you got to be able to develop them every single day. So for me, it's a great way to get to know our guys. A lot of sweat equity. You get that out there on the court, you work with them, you develop them, you invest in them. And I think that's where you can create some bonds and create some trust. But I also believe that you have to understand truthfully how to teach. You know, you have to understand how to get out there on the court and show a player how to do something, to demonstrate it, for them to do it, for you to properly give some feedback. That whole process of teaching, of development, is an important part of the process of getting better. And like you said, the summer, the spring, you know, a lot of important time to get better individually. And that work's going to show itself when we get into our real practices in the fall and then the games in the winter.
I'm sure what you haven't been a new coach out there, man. Your phone's been ringing off the hook about scheduling games. So how was that been? People smelling blood in the water. They go, okay, he's new and out of hole. We make you get a win there. How's that? All the phone calls and I get people to want to play you, man.
Hey, it's great. You know this deal intimately well, because that's the truth. I've been getting calls from everybody, and initially it gives you a little motivation. You know, you're like, all right, yeah, we want to go out there and do it. But it's pretty funny, you know, when I'm getting calls from UConn, you know, defending national champions, trying to play the first game of the season, we pump the brakes a little bit and make sure that we've got the right, the right opponents in place. But we're excited about the schedule. Truthfully, a lot of it was completed before I took the job. We had a little bit of flexibility to pick some opponents and provide our guys some opportunities to improve and provide our guys some opportunities they're going to be excited about, and try to have some good home games so that the community of Moscow is out here, you know, supporting us as well.
That's the hardest part at your level, trying to get home games and not have to be on the road 12, 15 times when you touch your conference. Because, see, fans, and what's crazy about it, I know I shouldn't say it's out loud, but we'll say it anyway, it's used against you when it's time to get used against you, unfortunately.
That's right.
You know, it's like, come on, man. You know what I was up against, but when it's time, that's not fair to me to you all that level to deal with that. But yeah, it's hard to get home games in your home market, and guys playing at home gives them a morale boost, because when you come off that conference slate and you got a 4-11 or whatever record you get for all these guaranteed games on the road, it could break a team. So yeah. But having some home games give you a chance to win. We saw last year with some low major teams who got big conferences to come to their buildings, they won. So a lot of those guys get the Nets and the Ken Palms and all those great, because they get to play home games for 2 months. So
that's right.
Build up the resume, per se.
Yeah. It's a hard part of the process. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I see this beautiful facility right behind me here. You know, we'd love to have some teams come in and pack this place like you said, it does help win some ball games, but it's also just a great experience for the Vandal community that's so passionate and wants to come out here and support us. So we'll have a good mix. You know, we're not going to back away from any challenge either. We're excited to go out there and play some of the teams that, you know, on paper were predicted to be the underdogs, and they're buying us to come out there. But I think we're gonna really be excited to play some of those games as well. So it's part of the process. Like I said, when I was in the conference at Eastern Washington, we went out to Indiana and won at Indiana, and we had some experiences like that that were really special for our players, for our young men. So it's a good opportunity to learn some things. It's a good opportunity to grow. And, you know, there's not going to be any back down. We're going to go there and fight every single game of the preseason. And hopefully at the end of the day, we prepare ourselves to be competitive and chase a championship in the Big Sky.
Now, I know you and Legs are cow guys. So tell me your best leg story you can tell on the air that won't get you or us in trouble.
Legs is the man. I tell you what, when I first took the job at Eastern Washington, Legs was on staff there, and he's one of the first guys I called. And I never got to play with Legs. We were just removed from each other. I was just a couple years younger than him. But I watched him and followed his career really carefully. You know, it's great. I called him up and I was like, man, I'm talking to Shante Leggins right now, a guy that I followed so closely and had, you know, just kind of like watched with you know, a guy that I wanted to be like, because he was such a good hooper out there. And so I got to know him so well. He's one of my good friends, got to know him really well when we were at Eastern. And, you know, one of my favorite things with Shante is he would pull up his high school film from when he was playing and even from before that, like his youth film, and watch him out there as a youngster in Santa Barbara, you know, talking trash and doing his thing, diving on the floor. He's a special dude. He's a big time competitor and a great coach for sure.
I'll tell you, Alex, one time I had him on the show, man, he was on the show for an hour and 10 minutes, bro. No lie.
That's I love him.
I'm like, bro, it was like, he was talking, bro. Like, bro,
yeah.
I think I got commercial breaks here.
Yeah, Legs is that guy. He's on the phone all the time. He'd be, when we were at Eastern, he'd be walking around the office with the headphones in or the cell phone, just talking, chopping it up with people. He's just one of the things that makes him special, man. He's such a good relationship guy, gets to know everybody, puts in a lot of time. So, yeah, I got great respect for Shante. That's my guy. Yeah,
I love him too, man. I always have him on the show, man. So he talks. His energy is so infectious too. I love his energy, yeah, man. It's great. Yeah. It's so great to talk to that brother. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question why he's had success. You know what I mean? Like, it's his players love playing for him. He runs through a wall. The players run through a wall for him. He's just a great dude. Absolutely.
Now, I ask you, man, since you've been in Moscow, what's been your favorite thing to eat so far up there that's treating you real good up there so far, man?
Hey, this is a special place out here. Have you been up here before?
I've been up there one time for football.
Yeah. It's special. It's incredible. I was expecting one thing when I came to Moscow. You know, you move from a place like Seattle that has all these options with food. I wasn't quite sure going in there, but the Moscow food scene is pretty special, man. It's pretty special. So my first night out here, I went out to dinner with the president of the university and the athletic director. They were just kind of showing me around. We went to this place called Lodgepole that was incredible. And the president is, you know, kind of points to the back room and says, I'll have my regular. And he walks in and he has just this huge plate of mussels. And it was unbelievable. So there's a lot of good food, man. There's good food across across the city. We bring our recruits in town and they're blown away by all the different options. There's so many good options out here. So I'm still getting to know it. I've been in town just for a few weeks, but there's a good food scene out here, man. There really is.
No doubt, man. Well, Alex, hope to see you on the road, man. If you're coming late for the Peace Jam, man, I'll be there talking to all your coaches so I can catch you in the corners there. So hope to see you real soon. I'll give you my number offline so we can stay in contact with you, man. But, man, it's fun to talk to you. We hope to get with you more often, man, and cheer on your Vandals, man. Talk to your brother.
I appreciate that, Jared. Let's stay in touch, man, definitely.
Will do, buddy. Thank you so much, man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right.